Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm going to talk to you about potential water quality outcomes from integrated crop livestock systems in the Northern Great Plains. So we sort of covered this already, but there's been increasing separation between cropping and livestock enterprises in the Northern Great Plains over the last several decades. And what we aim to do with integrated crop livestock systems is sort of eliminate that or bring it back together so that we can turn cattle out on or livestock out onto a cropping system. And this is the sustainable intensification session. So what do we know about it? Well, as it relates to sustainable intensification, not enough. A lot of information gaps exist, and I hope to sort of point that out as this talk moves on. So the objectives of this particular study was to quantify management system effects on nutrient and total suspended solid concentrations and loads, and that's based on values from the existing literature. And then secondly, based on that quantification, to identify information gaps and the research needs regarding water quality associated with ICL systems in the Northern Great Plains. So in the Northern Great Plains, it's a semi-arid climate with cold, dry winters and warm summers, limited and erratic precipitation ranging from 300 to 630 millimeters. That is projected to increase and become more intense with climate change, which sort of underlines why we need to focus on quantifying water quality effects in ICL systems. Native vegetation tends to be short to tall grass prairies, depending on where you are, and cropland and rangeland is a major part of the landscape in the Northern Great Plains, occupying more than 90% of the land area. In terms of water quality and ICL, previous studies, there's been some statements in more soil-related studies and papers stating that there's potential for reduced nutrient runoff based off of the soil health measurements. There's only been, in the Northern Great Plains, one modeling study on the water quality impacts of ICL, and that was in western Iowa. They were comparing a corn and soybean rotation to an ICL system that did their either cropping or pasture, and that depended on the slope of the landscape. So that's how they decided what type of system they're going to implement. And the model results did show decreased soil runoff, nitrogen loading, and nitrogen leaching. But again, this is a modeling study. Doesn't seem to be any actual data out there. So given that paucity of data that we can base our study on, we decide to examine the individual management components that could be present in ICL systems, including cover crops, crop rotation, grazing, different forms of no tillage or reduced tillage, and intercropping. So to do this, we did a literature search using Scopus, Digitop, and Google Scholar. And Digitop is from the USDA National Ag Library. We used up to three different search terms. The first search term was just the management practice that we're interested in. And then the second search term was water quality. And for every combination, except for the intercropping, we used Great Plains. And the reason we didn't use Great Plains with the intercropping was because it just returned too few results, and we wanted to sort of expand out a little bit, see what we could find. And you can see the total number of results that we received from those searches, and then the number of papers that we were actually able to pull data from and or cite. To quantify the effects of these management practices, we calculated percent change, and that was based on the concentration or load when the management practice was implemented, and subtracting from that business as usual. And by business as usual, it's usually the management practice wasn't implemented in that case. And then dividing by business as usual concentration or load, multiplying by 100% to get a percent change value. So jumping right into some figures that resulted from pulling values from these various papers for cover crops, you'll see variables at the bottom are percent change. A positive percent change is an increase in concentration or load. Negative is a decrease. So for our cover crops, total suspended solids pretty consistently were reduced by the use of cover crops. Everything else was fairly variable. Nitrate did a pretty good job based on the median, but we did have a couple that did result in an increase in nitrate concentrations and loads. And this is for surface runoff only. Everything else, either our sample sizes were pretty low, or for the soluble phosphorus and total phosphorus, we did have some increases overall. For no-tillage, it's an interesting dynamic. To start off with, we have the total nitrogen, total phosphorus, and total suspended solids. No-tillage tended to decrease concentrations and loads. When we looked at the more available nutrients, nitrate, ammonium, and soluble phosphorus, that trend sort of shifts a bit in that we have an increase in concentration and load. And in the case of soluble phosphorus, you can see that 10 circled down there at the bottom, that is values above 200% increase. So we had 10 values above 200% increase in soluble phosphorus. And a lot of the papers in the literature indicated that this was just due to surface broadcasting, historical surface broadcasting of nutrients in no-till systems. And that trend has changed so that the nutrients are actually put into the soil subsurface applied during planting. So this trend may have changed a little bit recently. For conservation and strip tillage, we have nitrate and ammonium decreasing for strip tillage, and for our conservation tillage, we have for soluble phosphorus and total phosphorus, we tend to see increases in concentration. Everything else, the sample sizes are pretty low, so we don't want to make any broad inferences from that. We're talking about integrated crop livestock systems, and we haven't talked about grazing yet. So when we look at grazing, this is our zero line. Anything above that is an increase in concentration or load. And you can see that most of our data points from previous studies fall above that 0%. And on top of that, we have a bunch of values that were greater than 200% increase. So grazing tended to increase concentrations of loads and nutrients in total suspended solids. In ICL systems, we have a different combination of all these management practices, as I previously mentioned. There were a few studies and a few papers that we found that they did use multiple practices, and we couldn't separate out, and they didn't separate out, the effects of those individual practices. So we called them combined practices. And what I really want to highlight here is that we cover the whole range of percent change, all the way from nearly 90% reduction in nutrients and sediment loads up to and over 200% increases in concentration and loads. So the picture gets muddied a little bit when we start combining management practices together. You'll notice that I didn't mention crop rotation or intercropping, and that's because a lot of the literature on crop rotation focused on rotations with the legumes and on nitrate leaching. And it did tend to decrease leaching of nitrate, but there's limited to no information on surface runoff, and a similar situation for intercropping, where the literature focused on nitrate leaching, and it did decrease that, but not much on surface runoff. And other literature focused on soil water availability and crop water use, along with forage quality. So, overall, what did we learn? Well, cover crops, no-till, and strip and conservation tillage tended to decrease total suspended solids and nitrate. Livestock grazing tended to increase concentration loads of most nutrients and suspended solids. but we definitely need more research on the effects when multiple practices are used in the same system. And in particular for ICL systems, we don't know very much at all about water quality associated with ICL systems, especially in the Northern Great Plains. So this is a critical research area that we need to look at. So in terms of research needs, I mentioned already we need to examine surface runoff and crop rotation under different crop rotations and intercropping. And these are specific to the Northern Great Plains, remember. Leaching of nitrogen and even phosphorus under other management practices. The effects of multiple management practices when they're used in the same production systems as they would be in integrated crop livestock systems. And what type of parameters do we want to measure? Well, I think we need to measure available and total forms of nitrogen and phosphorus. And I even throw carbon in there. And why carbon? Well, we know that the carbon and nitrogen cycles are pretty integrally linked. And in my experience, examining that carbon can give you some insight into what's happening in the nitrogen cycle. And of course, our total suspended solids, so we can quantify our soil erosion. How do we do that? In terms of experimental design, we definitely want to have a pasture comparison, so we compare that to our crops. And then, of course, comparing a grazed and non-grazed plot. You can collect your runoff however you want, whether it's from plot scale, field scale, or watershed type studies. Anything would be helpful at this point. And we've even started to use some rainfall simulations. We just completed some rainfall simulations. And all that data can eventually be fed into simulation models. I mentioned that the only study was a model. So we can help improve those simulation models. And then eventually we can get to the point that we can model future climatic conditions. In terms of how long we want to do this, water quality tends to change as you move through rotations. And even within the same rotation, that weather makes a huge difference. So short-term studies over the course of a full rotation would be good. And then those long-term studies will capture that year-to-year weather variability for the rotation. So coming back and revisiting the sustainable intensification, some of the management practices did tend to decrease or help improve water quality and nutrient use efficiency, but we need better data to be sure, especially in the context of ICL systems. We are also measuring greenhouse gas emissions at our location, and that's going to value for the evaluation of greenhouse gas sustainability in ICL systems. But again, we just need more data to know for sure. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge that our funding source, a USDA NEFA CAP grant entitled Back to the Future, Enhancing Food Security and Farm Production with Integrated Crop Livestock Production Systems. And it's a collaboration of a lot of great universities and USDA ARS. And with that, I will take any questions.
We have time for one or two questions.
It's an interesting study. One of the problems that I face personally in meta-analysis is the problem of different authors using different metrics and methods to measure the same concept. So in the papers that you have analyzed, did you try and see what the variation in how they have measured, for example, the different parameters that you have studied?
In terms of that, like instrumentation and stuff like that. Well, what I can say, and this is my chemistry side coming out, is that the different instrumentation sort of almost doesn't matter because it's the same chemistry that's going on, for the nitrate and phosphorus. So it's certainly a concern and something I was watching out for, but for the most part, the chemistry was the same. So I wasn't as concerned about it. Oh, and I should mention that this presentation was based on a paper that is in press at Journal of Environmental Quality. So there's a lot more details in that paper. Do we have time for
one more?
So, there's a lot of variability in the results and sometimes not enough studies to really resolve. So just I want to get your sense working these systems, if you feel like integrating crops with livestock production will actually yield benefits for water quality, or if you're you think the jury is really out based on all the variability found in these studies.
My optimistic side wants to say that it will. My scientific side says let's wait for the data. And we, from our rainfall simulations, hopefully we'll get some indicator of what's going to happen with water quality, and maybe even some actual field data. I have a couple ideas for how we can get some field or plot scale runoff data from actual rainfall events.
Thank you.
Thank you.